The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Welcome to the Connected Table Live. We're your hosts, Melanie Young and David Ransom, your insatiably curious culinary couple. We bring you the fascinating people we meet around the world who lead the industry in wine, spirits, food, and hospitality. We enjoy sharing their stories with you and inspiration from the people we meet and the destinations we visit. And we're doing that today with a very special edition of the Connected Table, right, David?
Absolutely, Melanie.
Recently, we had the great pleasure of going on our first wine tour of Languedoc-Roussillon in Southwest France, which is a very big area and region. We're familiar with the wines, but we never had the chance to really deep dive in. What were your impressions, David?
Well, I thought it was a fascinating region. Again, a region we've known from afar, mm-hmm. but had never actually been to experience it firsthand. And I was pretty fascinated with pretty much everything I saw. It's a beautiful region geographically. Mm-hmm. And the wines are not only some of the best, I think, in France, but they're really coming along in popularity as well mm-hmm. these days, which is really nice to see.
And as we said, the region is called Languedoc-Roussillon, but they're very separate and distinct. And today we are going to spotlight Roussillon, which is the more southerly and smaller of the two regions, located just north of the Spanish border in the department of the Pyrenees Oriental. In fact, it borders the Pyrenees and the Mediterranean coast to the south. And then there are these three rivers that run through the area, the Tet, the Agly, and the Tech, and some mountains to the north where there is Languedoc. And there's some really important cities there as well, Perpignan and Montpellier. It's rich in history. And we are so honored to have someone who's an expert and native to Roussillon join us today. His name is Eric Arasil. He's born into a wine-growing family in a small village just in the heart of the Aspre region. The name Arasil, we learned, is Catalan. And I was surprised at the Catalan influence in this area.
It's very close to Spain and therefore Catalonia.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that as well. So Eric grew up in the area and studied enology and became a consulting enologist at the 4K laboratory for several years and then advanced. His current position now is export director, and he's with the basically Vin de Roussillon, which is what it's called in short, as the co-director of the organization that hosted our trip. And it's called the CIVR, Conseil Interprofessionnel de Vin de Roussillon. So he's co-director and export manager, and he's been there for like 20 years or something. So he led some fascinating masterclasses that we're going to discuss and just kind of give all of you, our listeners, a kind of a great spotlight on Roussillon and why you should be looking at these wines and visiting this region. Bienvenue, Eric.
Hello, how are you?
Well, we're very good. We enjoyed meeting you.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be with you. So I think you describe already a lot who I am and what I am doing and where is Roussillon area. So this area is a fascinating place for the wine, for sure, and for everything, okay? Because it's full of story, a wonderful culture. You talk it about the Catalan position. For sure, Perpignan is one of the main city for the North Catalonia. Okay, is a brother or sister city of Barcelona, which is just in the southern Spain. So, in Roussillon, we have a wonderful expression of everything. Our culture, it's really deep, and we can see it for everything. Just looking at around you, we can have some wonderful monuments. We can have some wonderful expression. Just listening the people talking, because we are talking Catalan here for a quite big part of the people, and for sure we are French. So we are sharing Catalan and French culture in the same time.
I'm curious, you grew up in a winemaking family and have Catalan heritage as well as French. What were meals like? Sure. I mean, is the food, you know, what influences are French and what are in Catalan in the food and I mean, growing up? Can you give some examples?
Yeah, for sure. In fact, just to keep in mind, we were several times invited here in Roussillon. So the people from Spain arrived during the High Middle Age, and the people from France arrived around the 17th century. So we got several influences, especially in the cooking. For example, coming from Spain, we have some paella, classic one, okay, with rice or just with noodle. We have also some specific influences from France, for example, with butter, the butter cooking, because here the habit is to cook with olive oil. So a lot of different recipes, okay. And nowadays we have a big mix between Italian influences, Spanish influences, Catalan for sure, because this is a real Catalan cooking, and French influences. In terms of Catalan cooking, for example, I will give you some name, some special name of some recipes, like boles de picolats. I know that you are completely aware of the possibility to find some wonderful meatballs everywhere in the world. But here in Roussillon, we have these boles de picolat, which are cooked during all the year. And they have, for example, some good meat, good mix meat between veal, beef, and pork. And we are putting a little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper, a little bit of garlic, because the garlic, it's like the olive oil, one of the main ingredients in the Catalan kitchen. And after that, we fry them. And we can do a special accommodation with that. The tradition is to use some mushrooms, like porcini mushrooms, and to have also just a little sauce made between garlic and, at the time, onions, a little bit of tomato, and everything is completely reduced. We are adding a main ingredient also, which is coming from our vines, which is called rancio sec. I don't know if you remember that. You tasted with me some dry rancio in Roussillon. And the dry rancio, it's really a very good ingredient for the kitchen. It can give a little bit of kind of rancid, if I can say rancid style, for the recipe. And this sauce is already used, for example, with some beans, white beans, or with some stew, like a little bit of potatoes, a little bit of carrot. So depending the period, the season, for example, in the spring, we can have some potatoes and new potatoes coming from Roussillon for sure, and some carrots. And in the autumn, for example, you can have some white beans. So this is a wonderful recipe. And we have several recipes which are mixing in the classic way, a product from the sea and products from the ground. For example, in France, you can do a wonderful chicken, roasted chicken. In Catalonia, we are doing a chicken with prawns, okay, with a special sauce another time, and with a special lion for the sauce. We have a special lion, which is called picada. I don't know if you are aware on that, but picada is something another time amazing, based on the something always a little bit rancid. We are using some bread, some old bread, if I can say old bread. We fried it in olive oil, and we are doing exactly the same with garlic. And we are crushing everything together. And we can add, for example, if you want, the name of this link is called picada. And this picada can be used for a white sauce, for example, with just almond. We adding some almond powder, fresh almond, completely crush it, mix it with this special picada. Otherwise, if you want to do, for example, stew with a brown sauce, for example, with wine, you can add just, in the past, it was cocoa beans. And nowadays, it's black chocolate and even bitter chocolate. So we have some specialties here in Roussillon, which are really incredible. So with these puyastram gambas, chicken with prawns, it's really a mix between the iodine touch of the prawns and the crispiness, in fact, of the skin of the chicken. And it's really, really full of flavors and really tasty. And for sure, always wines to accommodate and to pair with a food. Catalan food. Ooh,
making me hungry.
Crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy way. And wow. What is really crazy is you can change your plate every day. We have always a lot of colors. We are playing a lot with the vegetables also. And with fruits also, because in terms of habit and tradition, we are doing a lot of sweet and sour recipes and sweet and salt recipes. So using some fruit or spices, more or less in the same idea as you can find in Asia.
So besides making us hungry, it makes us curious to learn more and come back and visit, Eric. You mentioned a word that we were going to dive into a little later, but I thought maybe since you brought it up, I want to kind of go into it. We're going to get into it later. You mentioned the word rancio, which I think warrants some explanation when you're discussing the food, because it can mean something else in English. Rancio is a term. I'd like you to explain it in the term for winemaking and food, because it means something else in English.
Yeah. For me, it's a problem. The translation, it's always a problem, because rancid is not really the right feelings that you can have with a dry rancio, even with a sweet rancio. For myself, the rancio expression is mainly the expression of I would say we have a wide range of aromas. It can start with something like a very rancid butter with a kind of freshness, which is nearly like a minty freshness. Sorry. And we can have at the end of your eventail, we can have some very dry expression of rancio, very strong expression, like something quite nutty. And we have also some wonderful spiciness like cumin, like a specific, I can't remember now the English word for that. But it's fenugreek in French. Fenugreek, I think, is part of the same. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So with a rancio, we can have some special discovery, because in fact, in the past, the dry rancio was just dedicated for the kitchen, because everyone was not ashamed, but we had the habit to put aside this style of wine just to have an aperitif, just to have a drink as an aperitif, otherwise just to use in the cooking. And nowadays, a lot of sommeliers all over the world are looking for this style of wine, because they are wines which are some wonderful partners to pair with a special food. For example, we were talking about mushroom just previously. If you have truffles, or if you have chanterelle, even some porcini, you will be completely happy with a pairing. If you have, in another way, some charcuterie, and mainly quite old charcuterie, quite aged charcuterie, it will be wonderful, because the fatness of the old charcuterie will give you a wonderful answer to the roundness and to the very soft expression of the rancid style. And after that, the spiciness of the rancio will give a wonderful answer to the saltiness. For example, if you have a piece of ham, a salty ham, it would be good. But in another way, if you have a salty, for example, anchovies, okay, which is traditional from here, from Collioure, based in Roussillon, that is a PGI from Collioure. So salty anchovies give a little touch of nutty expression, and the iodine expression will give a wonderful answer to the expression of umami from the rancio style. So we can have something amazing with Vendu Naturel or dry rancio.
Well, you know, thank you for explaining it, because that's a great gateway into talking about the wines, because it was an expression that was fairly new, I know, to me. What about you, David?
I'd heard of Rancio before, but never from this region.
Exactly. So, but it's very specific here.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So a couple of things. Let's step back a minute and talk about Roussillon, the region, and its unique geography that creates these microclimates. As we said, it's the smaller of the regions of Languedoc-Roussillon, and it's got very specific geography and AOPs. Yep. And of course, we'll get into the dry wines and then the Vendu Naturel.
Sure. You explained that, I think, but I think that it's really important to insist on that. Roussillon area, it's a very small amphitheater open to the Mediterranean Sea. It's a mountainous amphitheater. So we can say that the vineyard is really nestled directly in this amphitheater. And the vineyard is between 0 up to roughly 800 meters of high, and everything is on slopes, mainly 80% of the vineyard is on slopes. And because we are, like you described previously, different valley, because we have three different rivers, because we have those mountains, we have an incredible region with, for sure, an expression of the Mediterranean climate, but with several different expressions of this Mediterranean climate. So we have an incredible patchwork of terroir, of micro-terroir. And for myself, terroir expression is something amazing in Roussillon, because we have different soils, perhaps one of the best expression of the diversities that you can find in terms of agronomy for the soil and subsoil in the world. Okay, we have also the possibility to play with a different altitude, the possibility to play with a different exposures, playing for sure with also the environment. Because if we need to insist on that, Roussillon area is one of the more important vineyard, which is situated between the mountain and the sea. Okay, and in the same time, for example, if you want to go to have a bath end of March, beginning of April, you can do it, and after 1 hour. You can go to ski if you want. So it's not a problem. So this is a kind of paradise. Roussillon, it's really, really interesting nowadays for a lot of foreigners, a lot of newcomers in terms of vineyard, because we have this unicity and something amazing in terms of possibility to do for terroirs and for diversity of wines. And for sure, you were talking about Vendu Naturel, 45 sweet wines, but we have also some wonderful dry wines. And something also completely incredible, I believe, completely sure that we are one of the unique place in France to have the possibility to revendicate all the vineyard in AOP, so the top of quality. It's not really the case nowadays in Roussillon, because we are doing, according to the demand, we are doing also some PGI, okay? We have PDO, a lot of PDO, roughly 70% of PDO, and the rest is PGI, just to answer to the demand, for example, for one single variety, one special thing, one special vinification. So you need to keep in mind that Roussillon, it's an amazing place to make a wide range of wine. And always a wine for the pleasure, okay? Because for me, Roussillon, between dry and 45 sweet wines, we have something incredible in terms of drinkability, in terms of balance. For sure. We talk it also about climate, but the climate here is something very good for the body. It's something very pleasant for the tourist, okay? But it's sometimes too warm and sometimes too dry. And here in Roussillon, we are producing wines which are completely unexpected. For example, white wines. We are developing a lot the production of white wines with some specific varieties. And what is incredible, it's always the same thing. Using the old tradition way of work, mixing this with new technology for to have a maximum of quality in the wines. And when we have in mind that in Roussillon, the production is one of the lowest that you can find in the world, because when you started for the introduction, Melanie, you said Languedoc-Roussillon region. But if you are checking the Languedoc production and the Roussillon production, we have good complementarities, as you discovered by yourself. But in terms of yield, the total average yield for Roussillon production is less than 30 hectoliter per hectare. So it's nothing, okay? And it's, in terms of quality, it's putting really on the top the energy of Roussillon. So,
that's interesting. You know, I have a question for you. You referenced the white. We'd like to start on the dry whites. I think for our listeners, it'd be interesting to deep dive into, you know, there's 15 AOPs. This is from the Vin de Roussillon site, by the way, and 24 grape varieties. What are the standout grape varieties, starting with white wines, that our listeners would be thinking about and looking for when they go to retailers and styles?
Yeah, in style for white wines, in fact, we have traditional grape varieties. We are using grape varieties which are really clean in terms of aromas, or really fresh in terms of aromas also, because sometimes we don't have too many acidity. And thanks to the terroir, and thanks to the technology and the way of work, we are able to push the freshness of the wine, you know? So the freshness come from the soil sometimes, from the altitude, and from the berries. And in terms of varietals, we are using traditional one, which is Macabeo, okay, which is called also Bioja in Spain. We are using more and more, and because this is a dominant grape variety in Roussillon, Grenache, okay, Grenache white and Grenache gray. With the Grenache gray is something amazing, because we have a good floral expression. We have a good anisic flavors, which is coming a classic way for the Grenache. But because it's a pink Grenache, gray, pink, you can understand that, we have structure and we have minerality also. And it's a kind of powder gain minerality, and also a citrusy minerality, and the good freshness thanks to that. And the wine with structure, that means you can drink them very quickly, and they are very pleasant like this, or you can lay down without problem. And it's for that I said they are sometimes unexpected, because everybody in the world is talking about Chardonnay or Sauvignon Blanc or even Viognier, okay? But when we are talking about Grenache, for example, you can be completely surprised. Okay, so for Roussillon, what is really important also, we talk it about a wide range of wine, different colors, different aging. And you need to remember that we can play really with the versatility of our old grapes, and especially old grapes coming from old vines. Because you need to keep in mind also that the vineyard in Roussillon, it's at least 50% of the vineyard with at least 15 years old, okay? From 15 years old to, I would say, 180 years old for the vine. So you can expect some quintessence. And really, when you have low yield, you can put on the top each element of the terroir, each element of the grape varieties, each element of the vinification. And when I talk about technology for the vinification, I'm not sure that people can understand it, but the main improvement that we got here in Roussillon was a cooling machine. And in fact, we were doing some wonderful wines a long time ago, But nowadays, we are able to make the best and to keep them with our program. And this is really important. And when I was talking about versatility, you need to understand, for example, that all the family of the Grenache, of white, gray, and even black Grenache or Yadonnaire Pelouse, are able to be produced also as a fortified sweet wine, Vendôme Naturel. So sorry for that. I forgot to introduce very quickly, or it's up to you. If you want, I can introduce it right now. What is a Vendôme Naturel? Because Vendôme Naturel is something quite unique.
Well, we did want to. We just wanted to just quickly touch on the dry whites first, and then any dry reds. And then we were going to segue into Vendôme Naturel. So we tasted, because we did two seminars, and one was on the dry wines and the various microclimates, and we tasted and we'll have our notes in front of us, and we tasted some interesting the whites, you know, Macabeo, which shows the Catalan influence. There's Grenache Blanc, as you said, Grenache Gris. There was also Vermentino, which is Roule in the south. It's a Marsanne and Roussanne. One of the wines also had a Sauvignon Blanc in it. The I can't see the notes from here, but it was a Cote Catalan Blanc.
Yeah, this is not so usual to find some Sauvignon Blanc. Nowadays, it would be much more usual to find some Carignan Blanc, okay, or Carignan Gris. This is more unique, you know, than the Sauvignon Blanc. And by itself, for example, Carignan Blanc or Carignan Gris brings to the wine a wonderful acidity, a natural acidity. And in the past, it was put on the side because it was too acidic. But nowadays, it's important, especially according to the global warming. And for sure, because of global warming, for example, the production of Sauvignon Blanc, which is not traditional another time here, is so difficult because we have a lack of acidity, in fact, at the end. So just talking about the breakdown of different style of wines in dry wines. So you need to keep in mind that in the past, we were producing a lot of red wines. In still dry wines. Nowadays, we can share in two pieces, one piece for the PGI, one piece for the PDO. For the PDO, we're still going on with a good production, a good quantity, roughly 70% of red wine. We have roughly 20% of rosé wine, and the rest is white. But for the PGI, we have something which is completely in the opposition, because nowadays we are increasing a lot the production because of demand for white wines abroad mainly. So we have roughly 25 to 30% of white wine in PGI. We have roughly exactly the same in rosé wine, which are nearly with a full quantity consumed here. There is not a lot of exportation for rosé wine from Roussillon. And the rest for PGI is red. So that means less than 40% of the production of PGI is red. Keep in mind also something very important, talking about red and white. In Roussillon, first of all, the name of Roussillon is coming from the brown color, roux in French, okay? Because we have a lot of oxidized iron in the several type of soil, we have oxidized iron. And to produce white wines, sometimes it's too difficult because, for example, we can have some oxidized iron which can go through the skin of the berries. So difficult to make a red vinification avoiding this color. And on the other side, the production of red wine, when you have oxidized iron, could be very pleasant because we insist, thanks to the iron, to the color of the black, red, violet tints. So we need to keep in mind everything about this.
I'm curious, what causes that oxidized soil, that red soil?
Yeah, when the people arrive from the north of France, even from Languedoc, when you arrive from Languedoc, when you pass through the Corbière Mountain, you arrive and the first soil that you are discovering here, it's red. It's a red clay with a lot of oxidized iron. So it's for that people is calling Roussillon. And remember also something, or perhaps I can give you an information that is quite important for me. The first implantation of vine in Roussillon was done during the 7th century before Christ. And it was done by the Greeks, Corinthians. And when the Corinthians arrived here in Roussillon, they were looking for salt. And in fact, they found salt, but also iron. Okay. And they planted vineyard until the high plateau next to the biggest mountain of the Canigou. And one of the vineyard planted by the Greek people was nearly around 1,200 meters of high. So this is really special when you are thinking about that, you know, because iron push a lot of people to climb to the mountain and to go to extract the iron itself to make some weapons. And one thing another time, perhaps interesting for you, I don't know, I hope so. During the Middle Age, for example, we were very famous thanks to the wines, thanks to the vin du naturel, fortified sweet wine. It was a wonderful money to exchange with the other land. And the second money which was used was the weapons. Okay, and the weapons, the Catalan weapons, the Catalan work for the iron was known all over the Mediterranean Sea. So important to link always the iron, the wine, and the culture of the Roussillon area.
Thank you so much for that explanation. I think it's important because it is such a distinguishing factor. Let's do talk about the vin du naturel, which is the other masterclass. And yeah. I think it's important, you know, we learned, you know, this region, Roussillon, the vin dus are like the gems. And it's like they represent 80% of sweet wine production in France and 60% worldwide. Thank you, Vin du Roussillon and Eric. So big topic and fascinating range.
Yeah. This is incredible. In fact, when you have in the memory that the fortification was born here in Roussillon, thanks to a guy who was called Arnaud de Villanova, it was during the High Middle Age, during the 13th century, the end of the 13th century. And this man was a very big doctor. He was a private doctor of the King of Mallorca, because at that time we were under the Kingdom of Mallorca. And it was more or less, I'm pretty sure that everyone is aware of who was Léonard de Vinci, okay? And Léonard de Vinci did more or less the same things and Arnaud de Villanova made also. So that means he was a doctor. He did a lot to improve the medicine all over France. He was the first one in Europe to write some book of dietetic and some book of gastronomy, pairing between food and wine. Another time, if I can insist on that, sorry for that, but I'm very proud of my region, you know. Mm-hmm. And if I can insist on that, you need to understand that our region was really with a big culture for the cuisine and for the moment of the tasting. At that moment, it was normal to eat with some spoon and some knife and some fork, with a plate and with glasses in front of us to drink the wine. Keep in mind that when we became French during the 17th century, when the King of France came here, he was completely surprised to see that, because at that period in France, it was always the habit to eat with the hand and with the bread, taking the food directly by hand and just drinking wine or water it was a glass, it was used as a glass, but it wasn't at that moment glass. Okay, so this is important to keep it. So coming back on Arnaud de Villeneuve, received his wonderful know-how and knowledge from a guy who was also very important in the North Africa. It was an Arabic guy, And that guy gave to Arnaud de Villanova the alembic. So Arnaud de Villanova was the first one in Occident to use the alembic to create for sure distillation, to use the distillate as a medicine. And he has the idea, he had the idea to mix this distillate with a mercerized fermentation. So he created the fortification. And by the fortification, for sure, the wines were was also a wonderful medicine, but also something very stable to able to be transported without problem. Okay. So nowadays, just to summarize very quickly, what is a Vendôme Naturel? Vendôme Naturel is a wine made with traditional grape varietals from Grenache, white, gray, black, from Macabeu, from Malvasie du Roussillon, from Muscat Small Grain or Muscat Alexandrie. So he has a traditional grape varieties used for Vendôme Naturel. And Vendôme Naturel is a must that we are doing like in the classic way to do a dry wine, but at one moment you need to stop the alcoholic fermentation. So this is important to keep in mind. Always alcoholic fermentation, always a production of alcohol by the fermentation itself. And when you need to stop it, you add alcohol, a pure and neutral alcohol coming nowadays from vinic origin. And you kill the yeast and you keep a part of the natural sugar without fermenting. So like that, we can balance without problem because we have nowadays 8 centuries of know-how with this technique. So we can balance without problem the sugar, the residual sugar, the alcohol produced and added, and the balance between acidity and structure. So Vendôme Naturel nowadays is a wonderful range of non-oxidized wine and oxidized wine. So when I say non-oxidized, everybody can understand that we are keeping really the yeast of the wine in the bottle. That means when you are opening a bottle, if you pour a white or rosé or red wine, it will be completely white, rosé or red, with all the main characteristic of a white, rosé or red, plus, for sure, always the residual sugar, which is help a lot for the balance, and which is like, it's not a sweet wine, sorry to say that, but the question of sweet wine, for me, sometimes is used in a bad way. For me, it's a Vendôme Naturel, is a real wine. For sure, we have a kind of sweetness, but it's not just sweetness. We have a lot of wonderful feeling, a lot of wonderful balance, and it's still a wine. So you can use it as a real wine from the aperitif to during a meal, after the meal, just reading a wonderful book or just taking a sip to recover your health or I don't know what. So it's the wines Vendôme Naturel are amazing. So keep in mind, we have the non-oxidized style, and on the other side, we have the traditional wine, which are completely with oxidation. So remember what I said previously, Arnaud de Villanova was during the Middle Age. And we talked about Monet to exchange, and the Vendôme Naturel was a wonderful Monet for those exchanges. And at that moment, it was forbidden for us to go through the Corbière Mountain. So the unique way was to go through the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, by boat. And people discovered the management of the oxidation at that moment because the barrels or the corners which were inside the boat and the barrels or the corners which were on the top of the boat were completely different at the arrival. On the top, it was with a kind of oxidation, with, for example, from a young black fruit, it became something a little bit jammy, something expressing some torrefaction notes, some cocoa beans, some coffee beans, some roasted expression, special spices, and so on and so on. So Keep in mind also that the oxidation is an illness, and we are managing since already 8 centuries ago. And nowadays, the vendeaux naturels with oxidation are, in one side, amber style, so they are mainly coming from white origin. And on the other side, we can have truly tawny red-colored wines, which are coming mainly from red origin. And to get the oxidation, we have some big ways to do. We can use, for example, some classic concrete tank. We can use some wooden containers. We can use different size of containers. We can make the oxidation inside the cellars or outside the cellars. Something a little bit more incredible when we are outside, for example, we can use some sumigion glass containers. And here, sorry to say that, but here sometimes we have a mix in the sentence, because people understand that it's oxidation outside with sumigion, but in fact it's mainly a destruction of the wine than an oxidation, because we don't have any exchange with the air, with the oxygen of the air. We have just a destruction by the photon of the light and the changement of temperatures. So the color is going down. The aromas are completely changing. And for sure, like all the way of aging and maturation, because I'm talking about maturation much more sometimes than aging. So the way of maturation are really different, and each one is bringing something to the vendeaux naturel oxidized, and it's not abuse that you can find, for example, just a single cuvée made with bonbonne de verre, or single cuvée made with just barrel or just a concrete tank. So sometimes we have a big mix to make the main expression and the more beautiful expression of the vintage, because when we are talking about oxidized wine, sometimes we are talking about old vintages, and we are lucky in Roussillon because, for example, we can go down until the 1870 year, always available for sales in some cellars. Otherwise, we have also the traditional way to make some blend between different vintages. And for sure, we can have some very, very old wines. And nowadays, if I can summarize in just one sentence, we have non-oxidized wines, which are really pleasant for, I would say, new consumers or people who love the freshness and the direct pleasure. And on the other side, we have wines which are much more for connoisseurs with oxidative style, and where you will find always something amazing. They are wines, I would say, against the analogy, and they are really magic wines. So do not hesitate to try those wines, because they are the expression of a full culture, a wonderful story, and remember that. 8 centuries of know-how with this style of wine. So I think it's compulsory for me to go on with this production, because nowadays, unfortunately, the sweet wine in the world are quite difficult to sell. But those wine has a place for all the table, for all the people who love wine.
You know, Melanie, I found the vendeaux naturels fascinating, mm-hmm. because there's so many different ways to make it, mm-hmm. and there's also so many different styles of it. That there's a huge breadth of diversity in the wines, and I thought that was really interesting. And I want to point out that, you know, Eric, you've been talking about the fact that it's a fortified wine, but it's very different from port, because it's actually the fortification happens while the wine is still fermenting to stop the fermentation, right. and it's not added after the fermentation ends. So that's a huge
difference
point in the fact that what sets vendeaux naturel apart.
Yeah, it happens during fermentation.
Yeah, it's happened during fermentation for both of them, port and vin naturel. But one thing about the port was created during the 18th century. Okay, that means 5 centuries after the creation of the fortification in Roussillon. After that, keep in mind that we have different laws for sure for the production. In the world, we have more or less the same aim. But in the reality, when you have a look in the details, we have a different level for the compulsory maturity for the berries, for the crop, okay? We have a different alcohol use because, for example, for port, it's a real spirit, roughly 70% LBV. And for Roussillon area, Vin du Naturel, it's a pure and neutral alcohol from vinegar origin. And for sure, because it's 96% ethanol, just ethanol, the 4% on the side is just water. The quantity of alcohol added for Vin du Naturel is a very small amount, between 5 to 10% of the volume of the must that you are working on. And for the port, it could be much more than that. Another big difference for me, it's LBV, final LBV for port, that is higher than the LBV for Vin du Naturel. Average for Vin du Naturel, it's 16.5% volume. And for port, is at least 21, okay, 22. So this is another world for me. And another thing very important, when you are using neutral alcohol, we have a marriage which is made immediately after 1 week. If you want to have a drink directly on the tank, just produced, you can do it for Vin du Naturel. Huh. For port, you need to wait a little bit because a spirit has for sure a part of alcohol, but also a part of non-alcohol, and it needs to wait a little bit that we have step-by-step a kind of fusion, you know. But for sure, keep in mind, at the end, the aim is the same, and at the end, the profile will be very close, one-to-one, you know?
You know what I'd like to do is explain some of the different styles, because we tasted them, and so that, again, our listeners can seek them out, whether they're dining out or sommeliers can pick them out, the very specific styles, starting with Maury.
Yeah. Yeah, we have specific styles. So you're talking about one specific appellation, Maury. Just perhaps very quickly to say the name, to describe the name of each appellation that you can find in Roussillon. They are just a PDO. So the biggest production of fortified muscat in the world is called Muscat de Rivesaltes. It's produced in Roussillon. And made just with muscat grape varieties. It's a white origin, without oxidation normally. After that, we have Rivesaltes, which is a very typical appellation also, quite important also in different way. So mainly in red, without oxidation, just a few in rosé. And we have a lot in amber style and a little bit less in tuilé origin. For Maury, Maury is a very small appellation, dedicated only to the village of the Maury. And Maury has more or less the same idea as the Rivesaltes, but we find red, which is called Grenat. We find white without oxidation also. And we have amber and tuilé. Okay. And to finish for the different appellation, we have Banyuls and Banyuls Grand Cru. So Banyuls and Banyuls Grand Cru has one of the biggest possibility to produce. So in white, rosé, red, without oxidation, and amber and tuilé with oxidation. And one thing important, just to come back on what you said previously. So when you have a look on the production of those fortified sweet ones, those Vin du Naturel, for sure, the grape varieties are exactly the same. The way of vinification is exactly the same for the whole Roussillon. But what is changing a lot is the terroir. For example, when you are talking about Maury, Maury, it's a black schist, okay? It's next to the Corbière Mountain on the south face of the Corbière Mountain. And it's really with a very big wildness in terms of environment, with a garrigue, which is mainly bay trees, mainly juniper trees, a lot of white lavender, a lot of sage. So between the low yield, the aromas from the garrigue, and the expression of the Grenache itself, because the Grenache is a king varietal there, and the way of work with the natural alcohol, you can respect the full elements of what is making the terroir. This terroir can be completely different in Banyuls. You see Banyuls just facing the sea. Yeah. Banyuls facing the sea with gray cheese, not black. So completely different in terms of expression of soil, less concentration, a little, if I can say it, a little bit more feminine. Very delicate, very soft in terms of expression of structure. And for sure, the sea with a seaweed expression, with a fresh air coming from the sea with a saltiness. So this can be incredible, you know. And for sure, it's always the same idea. We can do always some specific details according the production of Vendôme Naturel in Roussillon, according the grape variety used, according the way of work, because for sure when I told you that we are doing like in a dry one, and one moment we are stopping the alcoholic fermentation, it depends what you are doing before to stop the alcoholic fermentation. If you are doing a direct pressing, for example, for a white wine, or just a skin maceration, or just a fortification on the solid phase, it's changing always a style. So imagine you can have differences thanks to the terroir. You can have differences thanks to the grape varieties. You can have differences thanks to the vinification, thanks to the way of aging. And this way of aging is making at least 50% of the quality of the wine, you know?
Eric, you've given us such a great explanation on all the wines of Roussillon, especially the Vendôme Naturel, which were really eye-opening to us. It's fascinating, and we encourage everybody to consider visiting Roussillon and looking for the wines in their retail stores or on restaurant menus. They're a great discovery. Again, we've been speaking with Eric Arasil, who is with Vins de Roussillon. And if you would love to learn more about this region and the wines, you can visit roussillonwine.com. It's a great site, very good with information. Eric, thank you for joining us on The Connected Table.
My pleasure. Thank you very much to invite me.
And this is another edition of The Connected Table. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you will follow us as we continue to travel and share our discoveries with you, our listeners. You can find us on Instagram at The Connected Table. Check out all our shows on more than 35 podcasts, including streamed at theconnectedtable.com. And always, our message is stay insatiably curious. Thank you.